Just another week in this amazing time we find ourselves, right? And so today I want to just share some thoughts about neighboring. We've talked about it before, and actually we're going to be joining churches literally all around the country, thousands of them, to reach out to our neighbors with intentionality, just to make sure that we're connected. This is a time for us to be the church, as we've demonstrated and we've talked. And I shared the last time that we've found that the church is not the building, although I did come back today just to spend some time and get some things in order, and so just to feel the comfortable, at least the common and the things that we know. And so you can see the auditorium as it was as we last were here together. But we ended this idea a couple weeks ago. I reminded us that it's Matthew chapter 28. And it's actually that we read after the resurrection that Jesus takes and basically sets the disciples on a mission. And that mission has been continuing to today. And so we begin today to lean into just a conversation about how we maybe can help our neighbors. And so would you pray with me? God, we're grateful for the life you've given us. We're grateful for just your protection and your care. And so this morning, as we spend a little bit of time looking at your word, I just pray that you would guide us. Thank you for just the many things that you're doing that we're not even aware of, and the many things that we can celebrate and thank you for. And so in between the tension of those, we want to find your Holy Spirit to guide us to be the church today. And we just pray your Holy Spirit to guide us this morning as we look at your word. And we just ask it now in your most blessed name. And together we say, Amen. So can you imagine what the country might look like if all those that name Jesus as Lord would lean into the deepest understanding of that? I mean, if you think about it, the impact that this COVID-19 pandemic has had on the church is to force us to become creative in ways that we didn't even know we could be, if you will. And so it's been fun to watch in B2B and conversations with many of my colleagues about how do we move into this new season, and to have to say truthfully that we're not going back to what we had. In fact, our friend Matt Skolnick on Wednesday night this past week shared a great metaphor of trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. And so we need to lean into a new understanding for ourselves today, because we're not going to be able to put it back in the tube. And so today is really the big idea I want to sort of cast, is this idea that this is the time that we get to take literally the great commandment that Jesus set forward to go out and serve our neighbors. There are many people that are struggling still. There are people that, with fear and uncertainty in ways that we've never had before us, right? But yet the power and the genius of the great commandment is that it's so simple, and yet it's extremely powerful when we act on it. And so the most effective thing that we can do collectively is to make a difference in our city, to actually live out that command that Jesus has set forward. And so we want to say as clearly as we can that God is at work in the midst of this pandemic, and he's inviting us to join him in very practical and tangible ways right in our neighborhoods. And so one of the things that's happened this week already is we've had folks going out and putting out this sign. So that it's on a yard sign. And if you would like one, drop us an email at hello@lindenroad.church, or you can even call this phone number. Let's see, get in the camera right. 419-528-8724. We've set that up so that we can respond in a quicker way. It goes to a innovative Google Voice and leaves us a voicemail and an email, and we'll be back in touch with you. And if there's other needs that you have. And this is a way for us just to lean into the reality of the tensions we find ourselves in, right? I mean, the coronavirus pandemic provides an incredible opportunity for us to embrace as opposed to be fearful of. And yet, I want to suggest, as this reset, if you will, of the church is something that, man, I think we needed it. It's not that I wanted any of this to happen, but as we lean into understanding what it is that life can be, and as we've hit pause and we've stopped in our own circumstances to be reflective, we understand that God's doing an amazing thing. And yet, we also know that we can only do a few things well, and especially as a small church. But I can tell you that over the last couple weeks, our online presence has gone through the roof. We've had more encounters in the last 3 weeks than we did almost of half of last year. And I think that reflects a large part on the fact that people are looking, and here's a great opportunity. And so even right now in your live stream, there's a place where there's a cards coming up that you can share. Invite people to come and be a part of this. And later when we run the kids ministry, take and invite people to come back and be a part of that. Because both of those are great opportunities for us to leverage love and to impact our community in a positive way. Now, I want us to look at a couple key texts. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 27. The writer, Dr. Luke, says, "From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us." See, we don't live here by accident. In fact, this time is an opportunity for us to learn in so many different ways. And it's not because we like the floor plan or the school system or because it's all we can afford. No, if this text is true, then we live here because this is where God has placed us in our specific neighborhoods. We're here for a reason. And we get this opportunity in these days ahead to rediscover a theology of place, if you will, and to begin to really love where we live. You know, we say as a church that we want to love God and love others. Well, maybe we need to modify that a little bit and add just another couple words about where we live. We want to be Jesus to those around us. And so we make our friends and we make our enemies, but you know what? It's God that makes our next door neighbor. And that's a quote from G.K. Chesterton. And so we have to understand that there's this place that we find ourselves that, yes, it's uncertain in some ways, but at the same time, this should give us a sense of encouragement and even excitement about thinking about things in a new way. Now, you know, it was just a few weeks ago, actually a little more than that, but when we hung these lights here around the auditorium, and those lights, if you remember, marked taking the light into the world. And I want to go back to that scripture from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus in chapter 5 of Matthew says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You see, we're reminded, and even as we've moved into our homes, yet the beauty of this experience we called God's Field is continued because of God's faithfulness. And there's going to be some things coming up in the next couple of weeks that you'll want to partake in on the website, and we'll talk more about that later. And then just this quote from Martin Luther, "God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does." Or my friend Bob Goff, who I just love, and if you don't know who Bob is, I'll put some notes here for you to go check out his book, Love Does, and some other things. But Bob is just an amazing character. He loves Jesus. He's a high-capacity kind of guy, and he's made so much impact literally in the world. And he says, "What often keeps us from loving our neighbors is the fear of what will happen if we do. Frankly, what scares me more is thinking about what will happen if we don't." And so that's the opportunity we have in the days ahead, is to lean into a whole new understanding. And so part of the opportunity, and hopefully the mail's gotten to you, but if not, Monday there'll be a package coming. And in the package will be a couple things. One, I talked about this last week. There's the door hangers. And then there's this dozen door challenge sheet. And the idea is for you to intentionally look at your neighborhood and think about those people who live across the street from you, those people who live next door to you. And there's actually a place here for you to put their name and their address, and then even about their needs. And the only way you're going to find out their needs is if you reach out to them. Now, you need to practice social distancing and all the safeguards that we are being encouraged to put in place. But it'll be interesting to see, as we lean into this together, what God might do with those that are just right next door to us. So just a couple thoughts here. As we move into a new season for our church and for the community, a new season for the world, literally, as we begin to walk towards reopening our communities and the world, literally, I'm excited about how we together can lean into a new understanding where God will use our talents because of who we are now. And I think about, as you've heard me say many times, you know, I wonder what those folks who founded this church 200 years ago on the town square or wherever the blockhouse was, somewhere there in close downtown area, that they had any idea that this is what it would look like, that this faith, safe place, if you will, of where the faith could be nurtured in men and women, young and old, in their families. And yet how different it is, and yet how cool it is that, and we've seen this, and even last week with our children and our students helping us worship with the virtual choir and the things that we're learning and pulling these kinds of things together. So let me walk that back again. Jesus calls us to shine forth the light by engaging in good works. And as we bless and serve our neighbors, they will have the opportunity to see Jesus Christ in us. Jesus makes it clear that seeing those good deeds can lead those people to acknowledge and to glorify God the Father. Now, good neighbors doing good deeds lead to goodwill, which opens the door for the good news. But I want to talk for a moment just in particular about good deeds. And so I had a chance earlier this week to sit down with my friend Brady Groves, the president of the Richland County Foundation, and just hear a little bit about how they're approaching using their resources and their partnerships with many nonprofits, literally over 100 nonprofits in the Richland County area to do good work. So check this out. So it's the afternoon, and I'm here with my friend Brady Groves. Mm-hmm. We're normally on a bicycle somewhere.
We are, sadly.
But today we're trying to lean into something new. So I just shared with people about this idea of doing good, and that's the motto, if you will, your mission statement of the Richland County Foundation, doing good forever. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like, especially now with COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it takes something like a national event like COVID-19 to really ground you of the work that you're doing. And sometimes, at least personally, Tom, things get kind of complicated. You know, you've been part of the Community Foundation. You know, we're doing some programs that we think want to change, hope change the lives of people in Richland County, and they're sophisticated, multi-year processes. But I think at the root of helping people for good forever, it takes us back 75 years when the Community Foundation started, and why it really started. It was based off of a single individual, a woman, who wanted to help struggling women and their children to get through some tough periods. And she did that at one gift at a time. And she drew the attention of other people, one person at a time. And I think that speaks volumes. And we've grown the Community Foundation to astronomical sums of money, but really, Tom, you know, you and I have talked about it, you've talked about it in your teachings at the church. It is a single person and a single gift of either finances or treasures or just helping our neighbors that really makes a difference. And, you know, we talk about Richland Gives and the importance and the over $1 million that is
that's
raised,
incredible.
Over the last 5 years,
sure.
and that's a big number. But you were here at the very beginning when the numbers were smaller, and the circle was smaller.
Right.
And now it's grown one individual at a time to truly make a difference.
So your response to COVID-19, things aren't normal in the sense they're a little unusual. So you've changed your game, if you will, the game plan that the foundation has, and maybe explain a little bit of that.
Yeah, we want to be able to be more responsive. You know, we had a very structured grant process that was, certain times to be able to apply, that process would be vetted by a board, and those gifts would be distributed. And that protracted process doesn't fit in today's needs. So we were able to structure that, create a team of community members that we felt that could give us the best perspective of the needs of Mansfield help us vet that process. Of course, you are part of that. And we're able just to evaluate opportunities as they arise, and truly, they have changed on a weekly basis. What we're doing now, we didn't even know was available or was needed last week. And that's the importance of the work and be able to respond in that way.
Right, and we know the needs are going to be larger than we can fulfill in some regards. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point. And I struggled with this piece too. You know, what we're giving is smaller amounts to people that have really great needs.
Right.
And so what is this amount really, is this really going to get them out of trouble? And the answer is no. But you know, you've been in community sector long enough knowing that sometimes just the thought of someone giving you something seemingly small, just to change your perspective that maybe your day isn't as bad as when it started, and that now this isn't going to get me out of the hole. I'm not going to be able to pay my employees. I may not be able to come out of this as I was, 30 days ago.
Sure.
But you know what? It buys me a little more time and a little more hope, and people are actually thinking of me, and that's. I think it's the larger impact of right. what we're doing now, and creating hope.
Right, and I think the hope is the whole bottom line of this, and the idea that, okay, we've never been through a global pandemic, at least I haven't in my lifetime, and we're about the same thing anywhere on the horizon, but the idea we're going to lean in together and do something that's positive, and we're going to invite other people in, and I guess that's the place I want to go next, is the Richland Gives has been a great platform for like more than 90 nonprofits in our community. Mm-hmm. We've grown it from a few of us to that number, which is cool, and over $1 million, as you said. Right. So how's that look here coming up? I mean, I know you've already opened up the platform for others to be a part of it right now. You've waived the fees. You've picked up that expense, because that's always a question. You know, is my dollar going to go all the way?
It is.
So now with Richland Gives, there's a national day. So let's unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, we've always gone with that Giving Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Everybody is, you know, done their cyber shopping and their Black Friday shopping and you know, Small Business Saturday. It's time to take a day and reflect and help those that could really use the benefit of general operating support. And you know, that was the premise behind Richland Gives. We feel with this global day of giving now that the communities across the globe.
Is that crazy? Say it again.
It does. You know, this is worldwide,
right.
That this pandemic has affected the world.
Right.
And now it's an opportunity for the world to give back to those organizations that have helped them through the various stages of this
right.
pandemic.
And there's a tension with that because, I mean, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, right?
Right.
And the market forces, we don't know what it looks like 3 months from now, but the idea of stopping and pausing in the midst of our uncertainty, actually say, no, I'm going to be positive and I'm going to invest in the future by a small gift, however that looks.
Yeah, I mean, that gift can be anything. I mean, for those in that we're familiar with, the United States, you know, some people received an incentive from the government, the stimulus
right.
check,
right.
and, you know, $1,200. Everybody got that was eligible. Some maybe might need it as much as others,
right?
But you know, maybe taking a part of that stimulus check and giving it, paying it forward to others to help improve their lives. You know, those people that truly don't have the wherewithal to work through a typical week. That's important.
Right.
We would never ask for those people to give right. that up. But however, you and I are familiar with a person that is out of work. Has different talents and made face masks
right.
For all our coworkers and,
right.
and other nonprofits
right.
Because that's going to be a big need. Right. It's more than just money, Tom, as you and I well know.
Right.
And I think Gives brings that to the fore.
It's richlandgives.org.
Org.
And you can give through that, and it's beautiful that you've made it as easy as possible.
Laptop, Yeah. Smartphone, desktop,
right.
iPad,
right.
Credit card.
There we go.
Those are the only things that you need.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you on behalf of our friendship and in terms of the community and
absolutely
leading through this, the things that you're doing, and it's interesting times. And I'm grateful for such a time as this that you sit in that chair, and in some crazy way, I'm leading from my chair down the road here. But together, we do get a few moments out on the bike that helps to give some clarity to our heads. But on the other hand, this new world that's coming, I'm excited by it.
Yeah, I mean, I think as we move forward, it times are tense, but I think this is a wonderful opportunity to think creatively and do things that we've never done before.
Right.
That includes your church work and my philanthropy.
Right. It's a whole new game.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, right. Well, with that, thank you.
My pleasure. Always good to see you.
Good to be seeing you.
So, thanks, Brady, and I hope you were encouraged by that conversation. We'll look forward to how together we can continue to be impacting each other's lives in positive ways. I want to point particularly to the Richland Gives program, and you'll be getting an email later this week about that and how you can participate in an intentional way to help others in our community do the kinds of things that are important. And so just want to encourage us to continue to be the light and to realize that it's going to feel different. And that's okay, because we sit in the truths that are in the scriptures. As I shared last week out of Deuteronomy, as I'm finishing that up this week in my devotionals in the morning, the reality of the promises of God, and that the reminder that the Israelites took of writing this book and sharing these words so they would remember and they would act upon it, and that the world would be radically different because of who they are and what they've done. And so I want you to think about engaging your neighbors in a very positive way. And so will you pray with me as we close? God, we recognize that we are all facing challenging times. We also know